Maybe it was one of your enemies.
Hmm?
Maybe it was one of your enemies.
I don't have any enemies.
I think you do.
You think I do? Maybe one or two. 1,000. All right. Mark 8. This is the fundamental one. Verse 34. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, that is the word for deny himself. That means you don't deny your eating peanut butter or something. The word is a word that means it's aprodiomai. I'm sure I didn't pronounce that right. But it is the abject abandonment of yourself. No consciousness of self whatsoever. That's the first. Well, let's go. There's really a first. Let's go to John chapter 3. And verse 3. Well, let's start in verse 1, put it in context. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, he didn't even pay any attention to what he said. Do you understand this? Jesus said unto him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, or thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And again, remember, the word again is a bad translation. It should be, it says, except a man be born from above, or born from the beginning of beginning, you cannot see God. I think that driver just loves Lois siren. But this is the biggest. This is the biggest one. Except you be born from above, born from the beginning of the beginnings, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Does everybody understand that? How do you know if you've been born from above? There's a very simple way. You no longer think anything below is important. So, but we go on this crazy road because this being called you is always trying to resurrect yourself from the dead until you slowly but surely you repent of everything that goes on or giving any importance to anything in time and space.
That's the toughie. That's the toughie, because you still want to give breath to circumstances, even religion, relationships, yourself.
Parents.
You still want
to... Everything.
Give all those... Titles.
Anything that you think is important is not.
For me, it's so hard to totally abandon. I found that I decrease so that he increases, but I still want to give breath to things.
Well, you can't abandon it if you think it's important. And so you have to go through the process of seeing the stupidity of what it is you're thinking is important. And it, you'll see that only when you see the mystery of the kingdom. Then you, then everything else is like, what's that game that kids used to play, which you throw, you
Kindler Wings?
Jacks.
Jacks, yeah.
No. Whatever that is, I can't remember what it is, but it's something about throwing something up and something down.
Right,
jacks. Until the most important thing that you can think of is no more important than a game of jacks. Or, all right? So except you be born from above. Born from the beginning of beginnings. You cannot see. You shall not enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yeah, it says it both ways. Verse 3, one way. And verse 4, enter. See and enter. Verse 5, enter.
Yeah, in verse 3, it's he cannot see. In verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, all right. So we had first, that's probably the most important one. Except you be born again. And then the next one says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now let's go to the third one. Let's be, Matthew 18. Now these aren't listed this way. This is just my opinion about the most important scriptures. All right. Verily I say unto you, Matthew 18, starting verse 3. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Except you be converted and become as little children. And the word for little children there is the one that's before self-awareness. You must return to that innocency that you once knew or were. Now these things, this seems impossible. Just as Nicodemus said, except you be born again, he said, how can I enter into my mother's womb? Because they didn't understand. You're born from above, and here, except you be converted and become as that little child before self-awareness. You lose self-awareness. Do you understand what that means? And then you're tested in all kinds of ways to see whether or not you return to self-awareness. If you've ever lost it. All right. Let's go to Matthew 23. Start in verse 37. No. Did I say 23? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not right. It's Matthew 22:37. All right. Verse 37. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, there's only one person that loves the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind, and there's only that one person that can love himself. And that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the only one that can love.
Yeah.
You understand that? This is why everything about the scriptures is the denial of you. Now, there's only one other place that I've physically been that taught this, that taught what I'm teaching, and that was J.W. Lumen. There are many places overseas where it's taught. Again, where the church is persecuted. But here in America, for the most part, these scriptures aren't studied. They may be, I don't know if they're studied or not, but I certainly have never heard any preachment on this. Anybody else have? All right.
I've heard of one gentleman who preaches the cross like you do, and it's different, but there are commonalities, and that's Jim Boucher, the guy in Dallas, and he knows you.
I don't remember him. I mean,
there are differences, but there's a very common thread that runs through his message and yours.
All right. Let's go to Mark 11.
Mark 11?
Yeah.
Let's look at this from the standpoint of the context. Let's go to start in Mark 11, verse 20. He had just cleaned the temple, turned upside down the money changers' tables. And verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And this is just before when he was on his way to Jerusalem, they saw the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree. Now the fig tree has always been a symbol for Israel. And so here when he cursed the fig tree, and then he cleansed the temple, and he said, you've made my house, the Father's house, a den of thieves. And when they walked out, they saw the fig tree that was withered, that they had just cursed.
I always thought it was a pomegranate.
Hmm?
I thought it was a pomegranate bush. What the symbol was.
It says fig tree. Anyway. And Jesus, and Peter calling, wait a minute, where did I start? And verse 21, and Peter calling to remember and saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, now this is the part that part is sort of, you have to little, I haven't cast any mountains into the sea lately, but it's a faith that's higher than mine that can do that. But anyway, 25 and 26 are the, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive which is in heaven. Neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, that's in another place it says, forgive from the heart to your trespasses.
Yeah.
Now, is there anybody on the face of the earth, past, present, or future, that you haven't forgiven from the heart? And if there is, then you have to forgive. Because if you haven't, then God can't forgive you. Now, that's the only way you'll see what the meaning of this is. Forgive if there's anyone, or really anything, that you haven't forgiven from the heart. That means that you have to protect in your being the right for that to have happened to you, or that whatever it is that took place, you have to protect in your heart the right that this had to happen in order to bring you to the point where you can forgive. But this is a biggie. Well, all of these are biggies. But to forgive from the heart, that means he just screwed me around on six ways from Sunday. But I had to forgive him from the heart in order to teach, in order to be a believer.
Yeah, I struggle with my father. I say I forgive him. I do. But it's very hard to.
Well, if you do and then you don't, then you haven't.
I haven't.
Because you're putting conditions on him that he can't meet.
I guess I feel like I can forgive him and then he's rebuilding the things that destroyed.
Right, you forgive something and then he does something else, or even does the same thing again.
Does it worse.
Then you haven't forgiven him. You just sort of got entered into a truce.
I feel like I'm trying, but see, it's not about trying, it's about dying. That frustrates me. I don't see any effort on his part. I almost feel like all of my...
Every person that you run into, or every situation you have, which you don't like, is from God. In fact, your father is an angel from God.
Amen.
From heaven to reveal my idolatry.
No, to reveal your stubborn lack of forgiveness. That's worse than idolatry.
Okay.
Because you put yourself above that person.
Yeah.
Now, if there's anybody around here that you haven't forgiven from the heart, it's the same thing. You'll always put yourself above that person. Anybody see that? Because you're judging down, so you have to be above. And that's really down. All right. Well, the next one is verse 6. I'm not thinking well. 1 Peter chapter 1. Start in verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And this is the operative verse. It's number 6 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now seed there is the word sperma. You've been born by a different sperm, a different class, a different place. You are no longer a human being. Adam has been put to death. Eve has been put to death. So you are a new creature that has nothing to do, no truck with this world. I hope you understand. All right, last one. Go to John 6. We're going to read this one's. Well, we're not either. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which, pointing to himself, which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You have no worth. You have no purpose. You have no life unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, how do you do that? It's not like in the Catholic Church where you take a little bite of a wafer, and that's his body, and you drink some wine, and that's his blood. But it is much like that. It comes from the blessing that we say every Passover and every mini Passover, which is every week. When we take the unleavened bread, the matzah, we say, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. So every time we do that, that's the minimum that you see, that you're eating his flesh in that has been brought forth from the earth. And when you take the wine, you're saying, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe." So bring, who what?
Who creates the fruit of the vine.
Who creates the fruit of the vine, the bride. Mm-hmm. So, and I do it every time I drink anything and every time I eat anything. If I'm eating oatmeal, I'm seeing that I say that before I eat the oatmeal. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. If I drink coffee, if I drink wine, if I drink water, I say, blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. Then, it's constant, because every time you eat or every time you drink, you see the mystery of God. And you see that you no longer hear. His life alone lives. And the purpose of his life alone is the wine, which is the bride.
Yeah.
So that's how you eat his flesh and drink his blood. But it has to be, it's not just on a once a year at Passover, or it's every time you drink anything or anytime you eat anything. That should come to mind. So you're never just feeding yourself or slacking a thirst.
So you see him in everything, every experience in your life. You see eternity. You see him. You don't see yourself anymore.
You don't. Yeah, you're gone. You can't see yourself. All right. Except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. These are the basics, in my opinion. Somebody else may have a different opinion. But to me, this is the basic issue. These are the basic issues that define the doctrine in which you have been delivered.
I might add one more, the baptism. Maybe an eighth, but yeah, these are the basics.
Anyhow, anybody have any response or thoughts or questions? All right. Yeah, baptism. I mean, we could end up putting the whole Bible in there, but
yeah.
For me, these are the basics.
Yeah.
All right, take it, big guy.